So it was a blessing to go see our son, and appreciate Keith filling in for us last week. But we'll be now part two of Genesis 24 from a week Wednesday ago. So look with me now, Genesis chapter 24, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us this day, for this week, Lord. Thank you for keeping us safe, guarding our testimony, Lord. I pray now, as we open the Word of God, you give us the Holy Spirit of God's wisdom and illumination. And Lord, we would understand the truths of the Word of God before us through the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God. Use me, I pray, as your servant, I pray this day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so to sort of recap, I know it's been a couple weeks that we were in this chapter, in Genesis chapter 24, just a few minutes. Let's look at verse number 3 and beginning here at the well of anticipation is where we're going to be at tonight, the well of anticipation. But let's begin a little recap of where we were. Genesis 24 and verse 3, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven. Abraham is making his servant to swear because he's going to give him a commission here. He said, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Now thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and to take a wife unto my son Isaac. So Abraham is up in years now, and he wanted to find a bride for his son Isaac, which is about 40 years old at this time. And so he commissions his servant. And his servant's name is not given here in Genesis 24. If we go back in the book of Genesis, we see his head servant is Eliezer, but we don't know exactly if that's Eliezer or not. His name is not mentioned on purpose in this chapter, and we'll speak about that in just a moment. So he commissions, Abraham commissions his servant to go back to his homeland, back to Mesopotamia, and to get a bride for his wife. And now there's some specific instructions that the servant has to follow. He has to go to the right location, he has to go to the right family, and he has to go to the right young girl. And so the servant obeys his master. And oftentimes in the scriptures, though, Abraham is pictured as a type of God the Father. So we look at Abraham tonight in Genesis chapter 24 as a type or a shadow of God the Father. Also, we learn from the Word of God that Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the Father and we have the Son. The New Testament teaches us that just as Abraham was seeking a bride for his son, God the Father is seeking a bride for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Rebecca in this story is going to be the bride, and Rebecca is one whom the servant is seeking and whom the servant has found for Isaac as his bride. So in this story, Rebecca is a type of the church or of the believer tonight. But there's one other person we've mentioned in this story, and his name is withheld, and that is the servant. The servant is obedient to his master, and he goes to speak about his master's son. He is going to seek a bride for the master's son. I believe the servant here in this chapter is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why his name is not mentioned. Whom the Heavenly Father has sent into this world, he has sent the Holy Spirit of God to convict and to convince and to compel and to convert lost sinners into loving the Lord. Notice now how this servant works on behalf of the Father, Abraham, and the son, Isaac. Look with me in verse 10 at the servant's mission here. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the even the time that women go out to draw water. And in verse 15, this isn't the well we'll be studying Tonight, this is the one we studied 2 weeks ago, so we're continuing the story, looking at the servant's mission. So he has now arrived in Nahor, and look at verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out. He had prayed to God for specific criteria to be met so that he would find the right young girl. And Rebekah comes out as soon as he is praying. God answers his prayer. It says, and it came to pass before he had done speaking, that's speaking to the Lord, that behold, Rebekah came out and was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. She's from the right location. She's from the right family, and she's the right young girl. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Now notice verse 23. Of course, Rebekah gives the servant drink of water, and then she says, I will pour water and fill the trough until your camels have drunk their fill. That's quite a task. That was the lesson 2 weeks ago. Now verse 23, and said, whose daughter art thou, tell me? I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Now look at verse 50. The servant is entered into the home of Rebekah now. Laban is her brother. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. He's like, he retells the story of Abraham's commission to him and how he has traveled a great distance to come and find a bride for the master's son, Isaac. And so now he retells the story, and then he tells what occurred at the well and how he had prayed to God. And as he was praying, God answered his prayer because Rebekah came and met every criteria of his prayer. And so he's in the home now, and Laban and Bethuel, they said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Now look at verse 57. And they said, the family of Rebekah, and they said, he said, I'm not going to delay. I'm not going to stall. I want to go. I want to complete my mission. I want to take Rebekah back with me to be the master's son's wife. But he said, I have to hear her say she wants to go. Look at verse 57. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. The servant has been successful in his journey. And God has directed him to the right location and the right family and the right young girl. The family has agreed with this arranged marriage. But they allow Rebekah to cast the deciding vote. Can you imagine as the servant presented the simple facts of his mission to Laban and to the family of Rebekah and then to Rebekah herself? As he's relating these facts of his mission and of his journey to Rebekah, he tells her the story of his master Abraham. And he tells her the story of the master's son Isaac. He invites her to give herself to the unseen man dwelling afar off with his father. But now the rest is up to her. The servant had come a long way to win her for the son. Now Rebekah must decide. One of the servant's jobs was to help Rebekah fall in love with the son she had never seen. That's all by faith. Does that think of someone that you know? Has Jesus Christ loved us and we don't know Him. We've never seen Him. We've never met Him face to face. But one day the Holy Spirit of God came by and He compelled us and He convicted us and He drew us to the Lamb of God. And He helped us to learn to love the Son we have not yet seen, all by faith, who's still dwelling at His Father's house. A servant would not force Rebekah to go with him. No doubt Rebekah could have invented 100 reasons and excuses why she should say no to this invitation. Can't you hear her now? How do I know your story is true? Yes, you've given me beautiful jewelry. You've got a great story. It's very compelling. But if what you say is true, you've come a great distance. How am I to be safe on this journey with you and these other men? How am I to be safe and know this is accurate and this is the truth? You're not lying to me to take advantage of me. How do I know your story is true? I don't want to give up my present lifestyle. I like where I live. I like what I do. I like my life. I'm quite happy who I am right now. Those in the world who have yet to accept Jesus as their personal Savior have many similar excuses. I like who I am. I like where I'm at. I like my present lifestyle. I don't know if what you're telling me is the truth. But there are no excuses from Rebekah's lips. Notice what she says when it says in verse 57, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." In verse 58, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man?" Notice her response. No hesitation, no excuses. And she says, "I will go." She instantly gave her word that "I will go with you." She gave her heart, not to the servant. Put yourself in the spiritual light of this story. She is not saying, "I'm going to go because of the great words of the servant. I'm not going because I love the servant." She said, "I'm going because I love the Son and I want to go see Him. I want to be His bride." Did you know that Rebekah was encouraged by her family to stay a few days, up to 10 days still at the house? Verse 54 through 57 teach us that the family was making excuses for her. But the servant told them, "Hinder me not." He was about the Father's business. She could have stayed if she wanted to for a few more days at home, or stayed up 10 days, or maybe not gone at all. She had reasonable excuses to stay. I would like to remind us that Satan will do anything he can to try and stop you and I from receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. He will use family. He will use friends. He will use circumstances. He will use our enemies to try to cause us not to receive Jesus Christ. Because once we receive Christ, we are His. No longer are we Satan's. But notice what she said again in verse 58. "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go." Praise the Lord. Now the journey begins. Verse 58 says, "And they called her and she says, I'll go." Great. Now the Christian journey is going to begin for Rebekah. Now the journey of her spiritual life is going to begin. Now, as a spiritual story, now when you say, I will to God, when you say, I will to the Holy Spirit, that's when the journey begins. Rebekah's journey to go to Isaac did not begin when her family was born in the right family, when she was born with the right heritage, when she was born with the right lineage. Her journey began when she said, I will go. Not because of her lineage. Even though she met all of the criteria that Abraham had outlined to his servant, her journey had not yet begun. Not until she said, I will. Even though she exhibited good works at the well by giving the servant water that she had poured and gotten for her family, and not because she had filled the trough until the 10 camels had gotten their fill of water, not because of those good works had her journey begun. Her journey began when she said, I will. Even though her family had agreed to allow her to go, that arranged marriage had been fixed by the men, her journey did not yet begin. She had to personally say, I choose to go. I choose the Son. By declaring with her mouth what she believed in her heart, with the words, I will go, she was placing her faith in someone she had never met to take her somewhere she had never been. Does that sound familiar? Romans 10 and verse number 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever, for Rebekah, for the servant, for Isaac, for Abraham, put your name there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise of God. The salvation of God is open to anyone, any person, past, present, and future. It's open to anyone of any country, of any nation, of any lineage, of any race, of any culture. It's open to all. Who are we to neglect and say, you can't go? Someone invited us. Like Rebekah, being born in the right family does not begin her Christian journey, neither does it ours. If we are from a family of first generation Christians or 10 generation Christians, just because we're born in that family does not mean that we're Christians. We must personally choose. Like Rebekah, being morally upright individual who performs good works, that does not begin your Christian journey. We can do all the good works we want. We can have a social gospel and go feed the hungry and give well water to those that need clean water, and we can clothe those that are naked, and we can help and encourage all those that need that good work. But without trusting Christ, you do not have heaven, and your journey to it has not begun yet. Like Rebekah, even though our family members desire for us to be a Christian, our Christian journey does not begin because they want it to. We must choose personally. Like Rebekah, we also have to personally, willingly choose for ourselves Christ and Him alone to save us. Then our journey begins. Oh, it was a long journey. Notice verse 61. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Oh, there's such great truth in this verse. What a long journey it is before them. The trip from the city of Nahor, and today it's called Haran, from the trip of the city of Nahor in Mesopotamia to Beersheba, where Isaac was and where Abraham was would have been a long, dusty, dangerous journey of approximately 600 miles. That's about a month's journey with many stops. Notice some wording in this verse. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels. I've heard a preacher preach this message, this portion of Scripture before, and he preached just the camels. You know, we've seen Abraham's a type of the Father. We've seen Isaac as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Rebekah as a type of the church or the believer. And we see the servant as a type of the Holy Spirit. You know what the camels are a type of? The camels are a type of grace. They're riding grace all the way to the sun. That's what we're doing. We're riding grace all the way to the sun. It was a dangerous journey. But notice again in verse 61, and she followed the man, the servant. She is following the man. Rebekah doesn't know the way. She doesn't know where Isaac is. So the Holy Spirit's going to take her. The servant's going to take her, just like He's taking us. Praise the Lord. She needed someone to go with her. She needed someone to take her to her new home, to her new husband. There's only one way. I'm about to have a fit. I'm about like Joe up here. I'm about to have a fit. There was one way to the Father's house. There was one way to go to get to the Son. Notice verse 61 at the very end. And followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. He didn't go the family's way. He didn't go the Mesopotamian way. He didn't go idolatrous way. He didn't go his way. He went the Father's way. There's only one way to the Father's house. Rebekah was totally dependent upon the servant. She didn't know how to find Isaac. She had no idea where Isaac was. She kept asking, can you imagine 600 miles? Tell me about him again. Can you tell me about him again? What's he look like? Tell me about his features. Tell me about his characteristics. Tell me about the son. 600 miles, he never grew tired of telling about the son. The Holy Spirit of God for 2,000 years has been telling people about the Son. And He's still telling us about the Son. And we should be at that point where, tell us again. Tell us again what He looks like. Tell us again who He is and where He is. And tell us again what He's preparing for us. Tell us about the Son. We're totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God to get us to where the Son is. We have no idea how to get to where God is except through the Holy Spirit of God. She needed a guide. She needed someone to lead her along the way. The Bible says in verse 61, she followed the man because she doesn't know the way. He's the guide. He knows the way. The servant knew the way to the son. And there's only one way to get there. So he went that way. He went his way, the Father's way. Not her way or the family's way or the way of the Mesopotamians. I don't think we need to be reminded that every person in this congregation and listening through YouTube or Facebook or Ustream, we don't have to be reminded, Christian, that we need the Holy Spirit. Not only to tell us about God's Son, not only to remind us about His love, but we need a guide to lead us to Him. John 16 and verse 13, we've got time, look at it with me. Put your eyes on this great, great verse talking about the Holy Spirit of God and what He's doing for us right now. John 16 and verse 13, the Word of God says here in verse 13, howbeit when He, The Spirit of truth is come. These are words of Jesus speaking. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's going to guide you in all truth. Isn't that what the servant's doing for Rebecca? He's guiding her. And he says that, for he shall not speak of himself. We have never in this chapter, in chapter 24 of the book of Genesis, ever hear the name of the servant. He's just a servant. That's what we are. We're servants of the Lord. But the servant of God the Father is the Holy Spirit of God, which is God Himself as well. And His job, one of His jobs, is to guide the children to the Son. Rebecca needed a guide. We need a guide. You know, over in the Proverbs and in the Psalms, there's great, great, great verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It also says that turn neither to the right hand or to the left. Stay on the path of God. We need a guide. But we also, as Rebecca, we're on a dangerous journey. We're on a long journey. We're on a tiring journey. But it's a dangerous journey in this life and in her life. So we need a guard. She needed somebody to guard her. She faced over 600 miles of wasteland, desert, with robbers and thieves and criminals and murderers, people that would love to take her life or take her jewels or to take her for ransom or to take her purity. She could not survive this trip alone. She could not even endeavor to take this trip alone. She needed a guard with her. Oh, praise the Lord, we have a guard who guards us. Rebecca needed someone who would guide her, guard her, and even guarantee her that she would make it from one end of the desert to the other. When God the Father sent God the Holy Spirit to us to tell us about His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit didn't leave us once we chose Christ. Once we accepted Christ and what He told us of the truth, and we said, I will, the Holy Spirit's never left us. He has been our guide and will be our guide. He has been our guard and has been our guard and will be our guard. He has been and will be our guarantee that we are going to make it to the Son. I will give you one good reason why I know I'm going to heaven. We use 1 John 5:13 in soul winning. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And I use that verse saying, you can know today 100% sure that you're going to heaven when you die. 100%. You don't have those guarantees in this life anymore. But the Bible has one. And it says here that once you give your heart to the Lord and take Him as your personal Savior, you have now a guide, you have a guard, you have a guarantee. And I have one great good reason to know I'm going to heaven 100% sure. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And the Holy Spirit of God is my guarantee. The Bible calls it earnest. God's down payment. If this is a down payment, praise God, I can't wait to see what's on the other side. We are guaranteed to make it to heaven by the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 13 and verse 14, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So if you've heard the truth and you've accepted the gospel as your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. And with that Holy Spirit of promise you were sealed, the Bible says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. We are going to make it, folks. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to make it to heaven. You're going to make it to the Son. It's guaranteed. Just as the servant did not fail to bring back the bride to Isaac, the Holy Spirit will not fail us to bring us the bride back to Jesus. Oh, but it gets even better. Look at verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahai Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and he behold, the camels were coming. Oh! There's one waiting at the end of our journey. There's one waiting at Rebecca's end of her journey. And he's waiting, anticipating for our arrival. There's only one, though, waiting at the Father's house. Look carefully. Isaac had been waiting for a bride. We don't have Isaac standing there and Ishmael waiting for the bride. We have Isaac waiting for the bride. There's only one Savior, and He's waiting for us. Isaac had been waiting for his bride for a while. He had already been to Mount Moriah and done his work. Substitution sacrifice. The Lord shall provide Himself a sacrifice there on Mount Moriah. You know, we don't hear about Isaac again until now. He went and did his substitutionary work, and now he's waiting on the bride. The calling of the bride was the work, not of Isaac. The calling of the bride was the work of another. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. That was the work of the servant. Isaac was not to go get his own bride. The servant was to go get the bride. Isaac's simple task was to wait at the Father's house, in the Father's presence, until the appointed time when he should go forth and meet his son, or meet his bride. One day, this long journey will be over. Either by exit of death or when the Father says, son, go get your bride. And we meet him in the clouds on the day of the rapture. Can you see Isaac counting the days? Let's see, from Beersheba, he's got to go north and then he's got to cross the desert and he's got to get over to Nahor. Oh, it's going to take him a month to get there. Oh, it's going to take so long, and then he's got to find the bride. How long is that going to take, God? And then he's got to make a journey back with the bride. It's going to be another month at least. He's been waiting and waiting and waiting at the Father's house. When he takes Rebecca to be his wife, he goes into his mother's tent. He goes to the place where his mother and father lived. He went to his father's residence. That's where Jesus is today. Isaac is counting the days. You know, Jesus doesn't know the day of the rapture. He's God. But it's not for him to know the day of the rapture. It's the Father's. And he says, one day he's going to say, go get your bride. The days have turned into weeks. The weeks have turned into months for Isaac. For Christians, the days of the apostles, they thought they were going to see Christ return in their day. Paul thought he would see the return of Christ in his day. Days have turned into weeks. Weeks have turned into months. Months have turned into years. Years have turned into decades. Decades have turned into time gone by of 2,000 plus years, and Jesus still hasn't come for His bride. But we have a guarantee. He's coming. He knows as He goes out, just probably as He does every day in verse 63. He goes by the well in verse 62 of Lahai Roi, which means the well of the living one that seeth me. That's what that word means. The well of the one who seeth me. It's the same well that Hagar went to when Sarah was cruel to her, not when she went out with her son, but Ishmael. But the first time when Sarah was mean to Hagar, and Hagar goes out of the house crying and weeping, and God comes and to Lahai Roi and gives her drink and a promise that her son would be a great nation as well because of Abraham. Just as Isaac goes by the well and went out to meditate, to talk to God, and to look, not just look, not just gaze, but the word says, behold, he is intensely watching. Is that dust I see? Could it be the camels returning? It's the camels are coming! Praise God. All Isaac wanted was to have a bride and to hold his bride. All he wanted was to live with her and love her forever and forever. The moment that the servant left to find him a bride, he had been getting the house ready, preparing the place for her to live. Then one day, while he was out in the wilderness, near the well of the wilderness, near the well of Lahai Roi, Isaac looks and beholds, and he sees the dust and being kicked up in the background. He begins to watch and intensely stare, and he sees a line of camels coming his way. His heart begins to race with excitement and joy, and the servant stops a little way off. And the servant gets off his camel, and he comes up to Isaac, and he tells him the exciting adventure and journey they've been on, and that I have brought the bride. We come now to the journey's end. Look with me in verse 64. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the candle. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it's my master. Who is the servant's master? Jesus. That's my servant. Or that's my master. That's my master. That's the one I've been telling you about for 600 miles. And says she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Rebecca gets off the camel. She puts the veil over her face. There's so much truth here we don't have time to cover. Isaac comes to meet her. And his love at first sight. And they live happily ever after. And we will too. Forever. For all of eternity, we will be with the bridegroom. What a picture of heaven. You think you love Jesus now. Just wait till we see Him face to face. There will be a shout in our mouths. The Lord will meet His children in the sky, and it will be love at first sight. We will spend all of eternity with Him, all because of the compelling work of the Holy Spirit. You would never have known the Lord Jesus if it had not been for the Holy Spirit. Rebekah would never have known of the Son without the servant. Even though Abraham chose Rebekah for Isaac, even though the servant told her of the wonder and the wealth and the love of Isaac, Rebekah still had to choose Isaac for herself. If she was going to enjoy the wedded life with Isaac, she had to first leave the worldly life of Nahor. Rebekah had to marry Isaac on his terms. We have to come to Jesus on his terms, not on ours. Every person will have to make a decision in this life, and the decision will determine your destiny, heaven or hell. An aged old saint was asked to describe salvation, and he thought for a moment, and he replied, "Something for nothing." Another aged old saint heard his reply and says, "No, I've weathered many storms in this life. And yes, it is even better than this aged saint says. It's not something for nothing, it's everything for nothing." The Holy Spirit is here at the moment to get the bride ready for the bridegroom. I pray you know Him. If you don't, I pray that you would let us talk to you tonight and lead you to a saving knowledge of the Savior, so you can begin that journey to heaven. And you can have that Holy Spirit as your guide and as your guard and as your guarantee that you will arrive safely. There's an old hymn again. I love searching old hymns, and it's called "The Bride." Oh, it fits so well. Bear with me. It's a long hymn. We don't sing but maybe 3 or 4 stanzas of a hymn usually in church. Well, this one has 15, I think, stanzas. Oh my, what a hymn. It's called "The Bride" by Emma F. Bevan. "Miss the darkness, storm, and sorrow. One bright gleam I see. Well I know the blessed morrow Christ will come for me. Miss the light and peace and glory of the Father's home. Christ for me is watching, waiting, waiting till I come. Long the blessed guide has led me by the desert road. Now I see the golden towers, city of my God. There amidst the love and glory, He is waiting yet. On His hands a name is graven, He can never forget. There amidst the songs of heaven, sweeter to His ear, is the footfall in the desert ever drawing near. There made ready are the mansions radiant, still, and fair. But the bride the Father gave Him yet is wanting there. Who is this who comes to meet me on the desert way, as the morning star foretelling God's unclouded day? He it is who came to win me on the cross of shame. In His glory, well I know Him ever more the same. Oh, the blessed joy of meeting all the desert past. Oh, the wondrous words of greeting He shall speak at last. He and I together entering those fair courts above. He and I together sharing all the Father's love. Where no shade nor stain can enter, nor the gold be dimmed, in that holiness unsold, I shall walk with Him. Meet companion there for Jesus, from Him, for Him made, glory of God's grace forever there in me displayed. He who in His hour of sorrow bore the curse alone, I who through the lonely desert trod where He had gone. He and I, in that bright glory, one deep joy we'll share. Oh, this is precious. Mine to be forever with Him. His that I am there. I can't wait. I don't know about you. We have a well of anticipation here in this story. Let's flip it for a minute. And we are at the well, anticipating His coming. Do you know Him? Are you ready for Him to come? Don't be like those young virgins that were foolish and didn't have oil in their lamps. Be like the wise virgins that were ready for the bridegroom to come. Do you know Jesus? Are you anticipating His return? It's imminent. It could happen at any moment. There is nothing left to be done except for the Father to say, go get your bride. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us as we're on this journey. It's such a journey. It's such a long journey. It's dirty. It's dangerous. But Lord, You want to bring us and You will bring us safely home. But Lord, if there's people here tonight who do not know You as their personal Savior, I pray they would get that settled tonight before they leave here. Or those watching by Ustream or on Facebook Live, if they would just call the church and let us help them know the Savior personally so they can begin their journey toward heaven, toward the Son. And Lord, I pray for us as we have accepted Christ as our Savior that we would be anticipating Your return. We'd be beholding. We'd be glancing intensely, staring into the eastern sky, waiting for Your return. Help us to live our lives in such a way that it shows that we're waiting and watching and anticipating Your coming. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I just want to end in prayer. How many tonight would say by a lifted hand, I'm ready to meet Jesus? Say, I'm ready to meet Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful. Everybody across the room. Is there anyone here tonight they would say, I'm not sure. I'm, as you said, 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure that I know Jesus is my Savior. Would you pray for me? If you'd lift your hand, I will. I'll pray. I'm not going to embarrass you. Wouldn't do that for the world. But I'll pray for you. Is there anyone here tonight, by lifted hand, say, pray for me. I do not know 100% sure Jesus Christ is my Savior. Is anybody like that tonight? You would lift your hand so I can see it. Amen. So if we're all saved here tonight, are we anticipating His return? Or have we sort of turned our eyes away from heaven and put them back on the world? Tonight, maybe there in the quietness of your seat, you just pray and ask the Lord to help you get your eyes back on Him, to anticipate His return. Help us to be watching. Help us to be waiting. Help us to be occupying and serving until He comes. In the quietness of your seat right now, if you need to pray, I'd ask you to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I've done as You've said. I pray, Lord, that You would help us all to be watching and waiting, anticipating Your return. And Lord, I pray, as Paul and as the disciples, I'm sure, have prayed, I pray that You would come quickly. I would love for You to come back in my lifetime, Lord. What an excitement to be able to go up to meet the Lord in the air. Lord, but if it's Your will to delay and for us to go through exit of death, Lord, give us dying grace, that we know we have a guarantee that we will see You face to face one day. Bless now, I pray, Guide us, Holy Spirit. Direct us on this journey. Take us by the well of Lahai Roi, the well of the one who seeth, liveth and seeth me. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.